But let's go back to, which one was it? Man of Sorrows? I think so. Thank you, guys.
You guys may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Seem a little quiet in here today? Maybe just a little bit? Yeah? Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe it's just me. Well, for those who are new here in the last 2 weeks, or in case you forgot who I am, my name is James. Whether that's your entire life, or this last year, or this last week, or today, whatever it is, the one you've struggled with the most, just make a mental asterisk. Maybe, you know, put your finger out or something. Don't, like, raise your hand or anything when it happens, but whatever that number is, make note of it. Got it? Okay. Number one, you will not allow music, TV, computers, clothes, or any other thing, activity, or person to be more important in your life than God. Number two, you will not spend more of your time, energy, or money to make any other person, activity, or thing more important in your life than God is. Number three, you will not use any form of God's name lightly or as a swear word, and you will not make a promise under oath using God's name and then not keep your promise. Number four, you will spend time with God and his family weekly. Number five, you will love and respect your parents at all times, even when you disagree with them. Number six, you will not kill anyone or even think about killing someone. That's a good paraphrase. Number seven, you will remain loyal and keep your promises. Number eight, you will respect the property of other people and not take anything that belongs to someone else without permission. Number nine, you will tell the truth about everyone and everything at all times. And number 10, you will be satisfied and content with what you own and with the talents and skills God has given you. You will not spend time wishing you had what belongs to someone else. It's the Big Ten paraphrased. Now, don't say it out loud, but which one of those kicked you in the gut as you heard it read like that? Which one were you like, oh, yeah, I thought it was something else, but that's really the one. All right, now, for a lot of us, we grew up hearing the Ten Commandments in our Sunday school classes. Right, we saw posters on the Sunday school classroom boards. We did felt board lessons on each of the Ten Commandments. You may have even memorized the Ten Commandments in different language, obviously, than that. So what I want to do is I want to invite you to get out your Bible, if you've got one. If you don't, there is should be a Bible in a seat in front of you. It's the maroon book. Turn to Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to read through the Ten Commandments. You can follow along. I'll do the first 17 verses. These will be more common language that you're used to, I should say. And same instructions. I want you to listen for which one you have struggled with the most, perhaps in your life or this last year, this last month, perhaps today, maybe even this morning. Track it with me. Make a mental note as to which one that is. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. Here's number one. You must not have any other God but me. Here's number two. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children. The entire family is affected, even the children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. That's number two. Number three, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Number four, this is verse 8 if you're following along. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male or female servants, your livestock, your foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Verse 12, but number five. Remember, you're making a note of which one you struggle with the most. Number five, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long life, full life, in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. Number six, you must not murder. Number seven, you must not commit adultery. Number eight, you must not steal. Number nine, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Or number 10, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The Big Ten. You got your little mental note as to which one you have struggled with? We're not going to have you tell anybody. We're not going to have you raise your hand. We're not going to do a survey or a poll or anything like that. But if you'd humor me for just a little bit, in the seat pockets of the two outer seats on every roll is a black Sharpie, okay? What I would love for you to do is to write just the number of the Ten Commandments that you struggle with the most on this ribbon, okay? So we're going to start on the outside, make our way in. You don't have to show your neighbor what it is. Just write, like, the number sign and then that, and then, like, number three or number five or number seven or number nine. Don't put number 11 because I only read 10 of them. Okay? Does this make sense? Okay. We're going to give you just a second or two to do that. So once you use the pen on the outside, just pass the pens to the inside. And make sure that everybody has a chance to write something down. Jerry, you tracking with me? Kind of? We do. We're still writing them down. I don't want to rush anybody. And if you're new, or a guest, or new watching online, and you're thinking this guy is crazy, you're right. Come back again next week, and we'll do something different. I gave up saying we're doing something new and different because somebody told me I say that just about every week. So, all right, everybody got their number written on their ribbon? Yeah. All right. Now, without looking at your neighbor's ribbon, I would like for you somehow to get your ribbon tied to your finger, okay? Now, if you can do that yourself, fantastic, all right? But these ribbons are purposefully only about 6 inches long to where it's going to be a real struggle for you to do it by yourself. So just tie it to your finger. Don't do it too tightly, okay? You'll lose a fingertip. Okay, so do it tight enough to where it'll be on here next Saturday, but also loose enough to where you could take it off at the end of the service. Tim, can you help me out with this? You're struggling to do it by yourself, huh? Okay. All right. Here. No, that's tight enough. I just hope it doesn't fall off. Okay. Yeah, again, you guys are like, this guy's nuts. Why did we bring him back from vacation? Send him back to Hawaii, somebody. All right. Everybody got their thing tied? Go ahead and show me. Okay? I'm not going to call anybody out if you're not playing along. That's fine. But while you got it, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Let's pray. God, what is it you want us to hear today? Give us ears for that. What is it you want us to see? I ask for eyes. God, what is it you want us to understand? Lord, I pray you'd give us the wisdom to be able to understand what you want. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first Sunday in February, which means we are starting the second month of our year-long Bible in a Year sermon series that we've titled, Where's Jesus? That was a mouthful. Ultimately, what we're doing is we're reading the Bible through in a year with specific passages each day, an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and whatever passages are assigned on a Sunday are the texts that the person speaking preaches on. So obviously, today's text falls in Exodus 20. Some of you may have read it already. Some of you may read it in the afternoons or the evenings, whatever it is. Some of you, you're like, yeah, James really is going with it because he went Exodus 20 and Proverbs 7. Is he really going to get to Matthew 23? Yes. Okay, so far, just in this last week, in the Old Testament alone, we've seen God have this conversation with Moses about go and tell my people that, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And remember Moses' response? I can't talk, Lord. That's one of my favorite responses. And of course, God's response, who made man talk, right? It's me. We saw already this last week, we saw Aaron and Moses go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. It didn't exactly go very well at first. It took 10 times of convincing. There was a Passover, there was death, there was all that stuff. And then we got to see in this past week, we got to see the Egyptians let the people go and in fact, given them money and jewelry and everything else to go and get out of here. We saw them cross the Red Sea. We saw God start the conversation with the people about, hey, if you want to be my people, you just follow what I say. And there was a mountain, and there was smoke, and there was mirrors. And, well, maybe there wasn't mirrors, but there was smoke, if you read the passages this last week, right? A lot of it. And then we get to this start in the Old Testament where we get the beginning of all these different rules. And we kind of started off with the Big Ten. And I started this last week thinking to myself, where's Jesus in these? Right? Because that's the question we're ultimately asking in this entire series. Where is Jesus in these texts? I mean, I read the Big Ten, and you didn't hear me mention Jesus' name at all. So as I was sitting there this last week thinking about it, where's Jesus in the Big Ten? It actually expanded even more because today's reading goes through chapter 21, and then beyond, you'll see that we get to a lot of different rules and regulations. In fact, over the first five books of the Bible, there's 613 rules and regulations. What did Jesus think of these? You don't have to answer, okay? Did he follow them? Yeah, right? We assume he did because Scripture tells us he's without sin, and therefore he followed all those to a T. And yet, why was it that so many people, so many of his adversaries accused him of not following the rules? Interesting, right? It's as if someone's having a conversation with Jesus. Jesus, you can't work on the Sabbath by healing. That's Mark chapter 3. Jesus, you can't work on a Sabbath by harvesting grain. That's Matthew chapter 12. Jesus, why don't your disciples follow our traditions about hand washing? That's Mark chapter 6. Jesus, you can't touch a dead body. You'll become unclean. That's Matthew chapter 9. Jesus, you're not supposed to talk to a woman, let alone an immoral woman. That's John chapter 8. Jesus, why can't you follow our 613 rules? I mean, God's 613 rules. Are you trying to throw them out? Bring something new in? Well, we know Jesus answered that question. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. To accomplish their purpose, all right? In most of the translations that you're reading from, if it's not the New Living Translation, it's going to say to fulfill their purpose. Now, that Greek word literally means to make it full or to make it complete. to encompass all that it fully means. All right, so where is Jesus in the Big Ten? Is he really just this rebel rule breaker like so many people thought he was? Or is he doing something more? Was he pushing from head to heart? Or I guess in our text today, from hand to heart in the Big Ten? Hey, Tim, tighten this again. It's loosening up. Thank you. I appreciate that. Proverbs 7, right? Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. I'm not sharing anything you guys haven't heard before. This is basically a refresher sermon. Jesus was all about taking the rule, the black and white of the rule, and kind of like throwing a kaleidoscope and saying, look, there's all sorts of colors to this. Matthew chapter 5, you read this on January 5, verse 21 and 22. Jesus said, you've heard our ancestors were told, you must not murder. Right? It's one of the Big Ten. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. Jesus said, but I say, if you're even angry with someone, if you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of judgment. Making it full. Making the rule complete. Same chapter, chapter 5, verse 27. You've heard the command that says you must not commit adultery. You heard that in the Big Ten, right? Just say yes, because I read it. Okay? But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her. Jesus is making these rules. He's turning it from black and white, either, oh, check, I did that or I didn't do that, to, wait, there's so much more to them. There's a fullness to them that he's trying to, like, fill out. In yesterday's reading, religious leader asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment? You guys remember what he said? Somebody? All of them. Love. Somebody say, yeah, there we go. A couple of people are starting to say it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Essentially, love God, love others. Many scholars have divided up the Big Ten into breaking those two down. Numbers 1 through 4 into loving God, and verses 5 through 10 in loving others. So where's Jesus in the Big Ten? Well, he's about loving God and loving others. He's about taking something that's black and white on paper and saying, oh, there's so much more to it than what you really see. Which is why he was so, let's just say it nicely, upset over the religious leaders in Matthew 23, which is another one of our texts for today. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and he says to them, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, strong language, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves. You won't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you cross land and sea to make one convert and then turn that person into twice the child of hell that you yourselves are. That ought to get their attentions, huh? And then he keeps going, blind guides, what sorrow awaits you? For you say that it means nothing to swear by God's temple, but that it is binding to swear by the gold in the temple. He's expanding. He's making whole. Verse 23, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, tithe, but don't neglect the important things. You blind guides, you strain the water so that you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel instead. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees. You're so careful to clean the outside of the cup, the black and white of the rule, the either I did it check or I didn't do it. And yet inside, you're full of greed, self-indulgence. First, wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. Yes, tie the commandment on your finger so you remember to obey it, but then let it sink deep into your heart. All right? I'm going to keep this very simple and yet extremely difficult. What do we do with this? I'm going to just jump right to the application part. I don't know what you wrote on your ribbon. Purposefully, I was going to ask the people online to text in, but I don't want to know what they wrote on their ribbon. Okay? That's between you and God. But what I want to encourage us to do now is think about how do we push from a rule to something that actually sinks into our heart. How do we push from a commandment to a condition? And because I want this to be kind of clear, I'll share with you mine. And God has a way of teaching me these lessons on the weeks that I preach about them. I wrote number 10 on mine, all right? You can confirm that, right? It says number 10, not 01, but number 10. All right, for those of you who don't have number 10 memorized, in the scriptural account, it says this: you must not covet your neighbor's house, you must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. All right, I like my house better than my neighbor's house. I like my wife better than my neighbor's wife. Check, 25 years, here's to another 25. Hot dog. He does have a nicer truck than I have, because I don't even have a truck, but I like my Subaru. So it's not the black and white of the rule. What hit me with this was when I read the paraphrased version, when she said it like this: you will be satisfied and content with what you own and with the talents and skills God has given to you. I realized, and I think I've known this, I have an issue with contentment. And outwardly, like, you would think, no, not really, but I like seeing what else is out there. For example, Tim, my ribbon's about to fall off again, man. Give it another squeeze, because apparently I need this.
Double
knot. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I'm a bit of a pen snob. All right, so make sure that the pens that you guys actually wrote with make it into a seat pocket so that I can collect them later, because they're good pens. The church paid good money for those pens. All right, I'm a bit of a pen snob. Tim knows this. Trevor knows this. There's a few other people that know this about me. We've actually sought out the perfect pens, and we have found the perfect pens for us. I have, seriously, two or three boxes of the pens that I love up in my office. If you want a good pen, I'll give you one. And then I'll tell you the Amazon link where you can buy more yourself. But speaking of Amazon, we're talking about coveting, wanting something that, you know, your neighbor has. Well, what if it's your Facebook neighbor? Okay, because I tell this not as like a humorous story, but it is kind of humorous, but it's also extremely humbling. A couple of weeks back, I was researching pens, because I'm a pen snob, and I found this article called The Top 5 Pens of 2023. And I happened to see the Bastion Bolt Action Gray Titanium Pen. Oh my goodness. You have that one? You've seen that one? Yeah, top five in 2023. Oh my goodness, the Gray Titanium Bastion Bolt Action Pen. I gotta say, over the last couple of weeks, I've coveted it. I have wanted it, okay? So much so to where this, like, I almost feel guilty saying this. Where you mark the page of the website wherever you find everything. I've got like 6 or 7 pages marked on both my phone and my computer to where whenever I open it up, it's right there, all right? I've watched YouTube videos in the last couple of weeks about people unboxing their pens. That's a thing, okay? And I've read the reviews. Steve, shake your head no, because I feel guilt in this. It's a ballpoint pen. I don't even like ballpoint pens. I like the gel pens, but boy, did I need that pen. You know you can get Bic ballpoint pens for about 20 cents a pen? And the Gray Titanium Bolt Action Bastion pen isn't all that much more. I mean, when you get the refills, it's only $90. Yeah, y'all laugh, but let me tell you what, I ordered it. I got it on sale, so I got the pen and refills for $89.28. It arrived on Monday, thankfully, before my wife and son got home from work and school, respectively. Because I may or may not have turned on some music. I may or may not have had an unboxing party. I may have looked at it and held it for a little bit and checked the weight like they did on all the YouTube videos where they said it was the perfect weight, right? And then I wrote with it, and it's just like every other dumb ballpoint pen I've ever wrote with before. I got it Monday afternoon. I had returned it by Tuesday morning. Now, don't clap for that. Man, you guys should be like throwing things, like flogging me. Would you just be content with what you have? All right, now it's kind of humorous, and this is the first time Abby's hearing about it. It's returned, okay? I don't need a $90 pen when I have three boxes of the pen I know I like up in my office. But apparently I have issues with contentment. And it's not just pens. I can always use another bottle. I came home from Hawaii with another bottle. I can always use another bag because once I get another bag, my life will be complete and happy and all things will... I have issues with this. So how do I make this go from a rule to something that actually settles in here? I don't know the answer for me. Okay? Could it be that over Lent, which is coming up here shortly, I commit to not buying anything? That could be. Could it be? I don't know what it is, but I know because nobody needs a $90 pen. All right, and if you have that one, I'll just borrow it from you for a while and I'll give it back because it is kind of cool. But how do I make this go from a commandment to a condition of my heart? I don't know for sure, but I do know that the Jesus who we are looking for in these scriptures, if I ask him, he'll tell me. And maybe it'll be today, maybe it'll be tomorrow, maybe it'll be a month, or, you know, maybe it'll be in October when I'm once again looking at a website for a pair of boots or bike or book, whatever it is that I'm not quite content, that I don't have enough of or the right stuff of, that I'll get the little nudge. And the Spirit will say, this is what you need to do. So instead of saying to you guys, hey, here's what you need to do, because I don't know what's on your ribbon. I don't know the number that's tied on there. We're actually going to give you time to just pray, to just reflect. I'm going to invite Tim to come back up. Dick will come up here in just a little bit after Tim's played for a little bit. And we just want you to just quietly ask the Lord, God, with what's on my finger, with this thing that I've struggled with, maybe just today, or maybe just this week, or maybe just this month, or this year, or my entire life, how do I move it from a commandment to a condition of my heart? And if God answers you today, fantastic. If he waits till tomorrow, just as good. If he waits for later in a week or later in a year, great. If you need to have somebody you talk to about it, somebody you pray for, that prays with you and for you, we're actually going to have two people, my two favorite prayers, that will get this. They're going to be in the back corner during our song. So if you want somebody to pray with you during the final song, after the service, they will pray with and for you. But ultimately, where's Jesus in our text? And as we keep going through not just the Ten Commandments, but more and more and more rules, where's Jesus in all of this? He's wanting us to move from beyond don't do this and do this to what's the condition of your heart. Does this make sense? So we're going to give you some time and space just to be quiet before the Lord. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing one more closing song. Jesus, you knew that I needed this message today. And this is not the first time you've nudged me on this. So forgive me for, you know, something as humorous as buying a $90 pen that I can easily return. But God, don't let me off easy and not nudge me. I want to be content with what you've given me, with the gifts and skills you've given me, with the stuff that you've given me, because I want to be content with you. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. Jesus, I pray for those in this room that over the next couple of moments will be asking you for how they can move this ribbon on their finger from their head or from their hand to their heart. How they can move it from a command to a condition of the heart. Lord, if you so choose, would you whisper in their ears ways that they can specifically do that, whether it's today, tomorrow, or someday in the future? Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. And these prayers that we lift up to you are prayers asking your help to make us that. So, Lord, hear our prayers over these coming moments.